So if you have a Bible, we'll read from Psalm 103. It's 22 verses long, so if I read the first verse, you read the second verse, be like Sunday morning. Okay. So Psalm 103, praise to the Lord's mercies, a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases.
Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies.
Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who lie oppressed.
He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever.
He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities.
For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him.
As far as he leads us from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us.
As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all.
Bless the Lord, all you his
hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure.
Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to do a very, very brief reflection on this wonderful, wonderful psalm, Psalm 103. I don't know if you were listening to when David was praying on Sunday. I think it was Sunday morning, and he spoke of Christians who can be in the doldrums. Sad, isn't it, to reflect on that? But there are times when we feel becalmed, or we feel there's a lack of discernible direction in our life. We don't know which way we're going, in a sense, day by day. Sometimes we feel like we're going nowhere, or going around in circles, sometimes in ever-decreasing circles, because there's such a lack of progress. I remember when Paul Howe was inducted, and this must be going back 15 years or so. The man who came down was a Scottish preacher, and he spoke about a great ocean-going ship that was now moored up in somewhere in Scotland. I don't know what the name of it was, but he reflected that sometimes a case of Christians and the gospel. We can look at it and remember what it did in the past, and we can say, wow, it's wonderful, but now it's just static and going nowhere. And he said, that's very, very sad. Well, this is a living God who we're going to talk about tonight. And hopefully, to use another nautical phrase, this will put the wind in our sails. This will help us to see that of all people in Orton, in Ormskirk, in West Lancashire, Christians are really, really blessed. God never changes. We do, but God never changes. And if we could recognise that and grasp that more as we come to church, we come to the Sunday worship, as we go to our Bible classes and Sunday schools and our prayer meetings and our ladies' meetings and everything else, please, please take time to have a look at the new church website. It's absolutely brilliant. And if you've never seen Billy's testimony, it's in full. He looks a lot younger than he was, doesn't he, John? He hasn't got a streak of grey hair at all. But there's a wonderful, wonderful film made by the BBC, and I watched it today. I didn't have the audio on. I can't get the audio on my computer at work, but I watched part of it. What an absolutely fascinating story. So we are very, very blessed indeed to be able to engage in the Lord's work here. So the first verse tells us quite simply something we know anyway. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise him, thank him, extol him, magnify him. Make his name glorious. Make his name great. Why? Because he's the Lord, and that's his rightful position. David's looking out of himself and looking literally up to God. Now, these amazing words to consider what David's background was. The shepherd boy who became a king, and yet, like so many people in the Bible, he really knew not about God, but he really knew God. And that praise for God came from deep within his heart and his soul. Some of you might like soul music. I love soul music. It's black music. There are some white people who think they've got soul music. They haven't. Real soul music is what the Christian expresses from his soul. And of course the Psalms used to be sung, didn't they? There are some people who still sing the Psalms. They won't have hymns in their churches. They will sing from the Psalter. And they believe that's the right way to worship God. Well, be that as it may, this is real soul music. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. In other words, we cannot stint when it comes to praising God. It's not something we come with a lackluster, couldn't care less attitude. That's why we should never come to church late. That's why we should prepare ourselves for church. We should realise what we're going to do in the presence of the King as we come into this place. The watchword should be, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, everything I can summon. Be you a young person or an old person, one who finds their health failing, but deep inside, you're going to praise God with your soul. He knows what you're like on the outside. He knows how you're failing and your health is failing and you can't sing like you used to and you can't do the things you wanted to do. But every Christian can draw encouragement from this. But all that is within me, we can bring it to bless God. And individual souls make up a church. That's what we are, aren't we? Yes, we're all individuals, but individual souls make up a church. And what a wonderful testimony as we come to church, if we sing heartily the real soul music, if we have our Bibles and we read it and sing and with understanding to bring praise and glory to God. But we don't just bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, and leave it there. David lists 15 different reasons why he can praise God. Let's just turn in Psalm 28 and just read verses 6 and 7. In fact, it's so short, I'll read it to you. I just wanted to say that heartfelt praise is the best praise. And David writes these words in Psalm 28, verses 6 and 7. Blessed be the Lord. Why? Because he's heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him. I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. We trust that when we sing, it brings a smile to the face of God. He enjoys hearing our praise, and we enjoy praising him. We're not embarrassed. We're singing with understanding. You've watched songs of praise, haven't you? When everybody sings up when the camera's on them, blah, blah, blah. But we're not like that. We have a reason for the hope that lies within us. We can sing heartily with understanding. Some people can't sing very well, but they still sing heartily. Some people can't hold a tune, but God knows what's in the heart. And David tells us why we should sing. With my song, I will praise him. And heartfelt praise is the best praise. Praise that comes from a renewed heart is the very best praise. We might know and feel and understand how we are blessed when we sing and bless God. We turn the attention from ourselves and all our problems, and we realise that when we come to this place, casting all our care upon him, because he cares for you. And then David also has a sensible appreciation about who God is. Now we will turn to Psalm 31, because this is a little bit longer, and read 10 verses from verse 14 to verse 24. Psalm 31, verse 14, down to the end of the psalm. David writes these words. As for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. Don't let me be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak insolent things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you, in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man. You'll keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord. He showed me his marvellous kindness in a strong city. I said in my haste, I'm cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried out to you. Oh, love the Lord, all you his saints. For the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Be of good courage. He'll strengthen your hearts, all you who hope in the Lord. Christians know God. Christians know why they want to bless, praise, worship, extol and magnify God. We're not going through the motions. We're not just doing it mindlessly or without any feeling at all. Yes, it is an emotional experience. And David shows how grateful and thankful he is to God for his providential keeping of him, for his care for him. And what are those 15 things that David mentions? Well, as we go down the Psalms, we read about a God who forgives, a God who heals, a God who redeems, a God who crowns, a God who satisfies and executes mercy and justice, a God who is merciful and is gracious. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in mercy. He's a God who pities and a God who knows. He's a God who's made known his ways. He's a God who's removed our transgressions. He's a God who has established his kingdom. I once heard something really strange, and you might agree or disagree with this statement. Somebody said that when you sing the little chorus, count your blessings, name them one by one, that's very, very selfish. As though there's something wrong about reflecting on the goodness of God and counting our blessings, because we might be blessed more than other people. Well, I would disagree with them. I think it is good in the right way to count our blessings. And remember, not to be like those people Paul talks about who worship the created more than the creator. And not to thank God for all our blessings in a very selfish way. That's what Job was accused of, wasn't it? Satan said, Job only loves God because look what God has given Job. He'd be a fool not to love God. He's got health and wealth and family and love and respect. Take all these things from him and he'll fall flat on his face. Sometimes people might look at us and say, no wonder they're so happy. Look at the nice cars they have. Look at the nice building they have. Look at the nice professions they have. Look at all the money they have. That's why they're all happy at Orton Park Baptist Church. But we know that there are Christians who are happy and they've got absolutely nothing. And they are able to say, bless the Lord, O my soul. And so it's not wrong to sing, count your blessings, mindful of the God who blesses you day by day. But it is wrong to think that our whole Christian life just revolves around those blessings rather than the one who blesses us. Because if we're in it just for the blessings, then we might find to our horror at times But the Lord Jesus Christ says, yes, don't forget, you've got to take up your cross. Don't forget, you've got to be ridiculed for my sake. Don't forget, there are going to be times of persecution. Don't forget, there are going to be times when you will suffer for my sake. And you are going to be blessed then as well. So don't think that blessing revolves around all the good things that you've got. Because like Job reflected, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So David has told us of 15 things that God does. I always want to turn, I always have to ring Joyce up when I'm preparing something because she knows all the hymns and I don't. But this is a hymn that encapsulates what I've been speaking so far. 553, Lord, we know that thou art near us, though thou seemest to hide thy face, and are sure that thou dost hear us, though no answer we embrace. Not one promise shall miscarry, not one blessing come too late, though the vision long may tarry, give us patience, Lord, to wait. While withholding, thou art giving, in thine own appointed way, and while waiting, we're receiving, blessings suited to our day. O, the wondrous loving kindness, planning, working out of sight, bearing with us in our blindness, out of darkness bringing light, weaving blessings out of trials, out of grief evolving bliss, answering prayer by wise denials when thy children ask amiss, and when faith shall end in vision, and when prayer is lost in praise, then shall love in full fruition justify thy secret ways. That's a wonderful, wonderful hymn, isn't it? Reminding us some of the blessings that we question sometimes. How is this going to work to my good and to God's glory? Everything, absolutely everything, will work together for our good and for the glory of God. And one day we will see how intricate and how complicated at times things were, and yet it's all for our good and for God's glory. So, our focus should not just be on the blessings, but our focus should be on the one who blesses us. We can't limit God in the way he blesses us, and he blesses different people in different ways. And we should never doubt God that he will not bless us because of circumstances in our life. Yes, there are times when we know that God has withdrawn certain blessings. And there are times if we've fallen into a particular sin, there are times when we know we've been disobedient, but we've grieved the Holy Spirit. And there are times when we feel that acutely. I want to just think before we finish and think about something about David, about some of the blessings that we enjoy in this church. And don't think, oh, he's just said about counting your blessings. This isn't just going to be a great big pat on the back for Orton Park Baptist Church, is it? Because we don't need it. We know very much that we're a work in progress. Well, as we come to church week by week, please reflect on these five things that evangelical and gospel churches enjoy. And the first one is this: good biblical preaching from men who respect and honour the pulpit. Somebody once said, guard the pulpit. Do you know what that means, to guard the pulpit? Be careful who you put in the pulpit. I want to show you something that I picked up at work. This is a little handbook to, we had £1 million worth of fake headphones given to us. They've been sent abroad now because they're not allowed to sell them. But this is really frightening. This is a manual that came with them. And to all intents and purposes, as you read through this, you'd think, wow, they're the real thing. They're not. There's some very strange spelling mistakes and website addresses and things like that. And you come through and you think, that's not real. In the same vein, there is so much of the counterfeit in the gospel world today. We've to be very, very careful. And we must thank God. We must bless God. We must ask God constantly to guard our pulpit and to make us those who appreciate and thrive on good, sound preaching. So it's not just what goes on in here through the ear, but it's reflected in how we live out these precious doctrines of grace. We are so grateful, we should thank God that we're in a church. We're not being proud about this. We just thank God for guarding our pulpits and sending ministers and preachers, people who we know and people who we respect, who bring the word of God to us week after week after week. We should thank God for the way in which we can praise God with good hymns and in a way which brings glory to God, so that the focus isn't just on the singing. The focus is on what we're singing about and who we're singing to. Because the psalmist says we must sing with understanding. And when we bless the Lord, we must bless him with understanding. We know who we are. We know who he is and why we're singing to him. We thank God that we have an emphasis on evangelism. And there are many, many missionaries who we support all over the world. We bless God for that. And thank God that we're not just a closed shop and just interested in ourselves and we're all right. No, we want to tell other people about what we believe and why we believe it. If each of us spoke to one person a day, a different person a day, not the same person every day, about the Lord Jesus Christ, could we do it? Do we seek opportunities for doing it? Some people find it really easy to speak to people. We bless God for those opportunities we have to tell people about the God we love and we serve. We thank God for those older believers, those who have gone before us, those who, yes, they used to bless the Lord, those who appreciated who God was and what God had done for them and had such a brilliant, brilliant testimony. I'm thinking of people who are still alive today and have gone on before. Bernard, we've run camps in the Ukraine since 1994, and Bernard had a letter from a young man who came as an orphan when he was about 9 or 10, and his name was Yuri. And Yuri wrote a letter to Bernard, and Bernard has shared this with lots and lots of people. Over the last time he was in the Ukraine, a couple of weeks ago, 7,000 young people at a young people's meeting. That's amazing, isn't it? 7,000 young people at a young people's meeting in the Ukraine. And he had the privilege of speaking to them. Anyway, talking about those who've gone before and the Christian influence that only the gospel can bring. There were 92 young people who went to that camp. And of the 92, I think there are 90 who are now involved in Christian work because they were all converted and now they're doing so many different things. And Bernard said, if not for the gospel, where would they have been? Absolutely amazing. And I know we turn our noses up at a second chance. But there are some people who have had a second chance when they've been in prison, wherever, and they've heard the gospel and their lives have been changed. And so we are very grateful in our church for those older believers and those who've gone on before. But we're grateful for a God who has inspired those people to inspire us that we might inspire others. And also we thank God for one of the most precious gifts we have. We bless the Lord for our freedom simply to come here tonight to worship. You realise how blessed we are. We've been reading what we're doing in China now, where they're taking crosses down from churches. We went to Chester on Saturday. We took Lydia and Ephraim with us. And there was a young lady giving out Chinese gospels. And the number of people, she knew exactly that there'd be lots of Chinese people in Chester. And the number of Chinese young people who were coming, can I have one of those? Why? Because we're told we can't have them in our country. We'll get them back. Please, 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 let us have one. We should bless God for so many things. Not the least of which is the very freedom we have and the Christian heritage we still have and the opportunity we have to meet no man making us afraid. They are great, great blessings. So what can we draw from David's observations on the mercies of God, on this wonderful, wonderful reflection he has where he exults, he lets rip. He doesn't want to hide his emotions. He wants to share with everybody, and God has preserved it for us today. First of all, just like David stirred up his soul, we must stir up our souls. Because it's so easy to become self-centered and become down in the dumps and to be in the doldrums like David prayed. There's nothing wrong with being honest to God and telling him exactly how you feel, but Please, please, please remember what David said. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Start by looking in yourself for reasons to be cheerful. He and Jury sang that, didn't he? Part 3. But we have reasons to be cheerful. Yes, we know about our sin and our shame. Yes, we know about what we have been. But now we can look at a God who's forgiven us. You see how David puts all these things in the right order. First of all, he's a God who forgives. Then he's a God who heals. Then he's a God who redeems. Then he's a God who satisfies. And David says, no, he doesn't satisfy before forgiving. He forgives us. And then we're right with God. And then everything else follows in its right place. And we should stir up our own soul. And as we stir up our own soul, we'll encourage others to do the same. So that when we sing the hymns, and when we pray with an amen, and when we listen, and when we pay attention to the preaching, that sets a really good example. And we're stirring up our soul. An old illustration about fact, faith and feeling. Keep them in that order and you won't go far wrong. But if you mix them up, you're going to have problems. But David reminds us to stir up our own souls. He couldn't help but reflect on the goodness and the greatness of God as he stirred up his own soul. And I've already mentioned this, but see which of these blessings are so, so important in the way in which David mentions them. Finally, we must get to know God better so that we're able to say, personally and experientially, because we know God's forgiven me, God's redeemed me, God's healed me, God crowns me with good things. Each of us can look back and see the hand of God in providence and all the good things that we have. So the prayer meeting is the place when we can rejoice together and say with David, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Amen.